Short story number one, Long's Peak, by Larry Vardaman. While I was a graduate student at Colorado State University, I had several opportunities to climb a few tall mountains. My friend Alan McNabb and I decided one Saturday we were going to climb Long's Peak, which is one of the 14,000-foot mountains in Colorado. There are three 14,000-footers, as they're called, along the front range of the Rockies, and another 10 or so along the Continental Divide and in the southwestern part of the state. Long's Peak is just west of Longmont, Colorado, about 50 miles north of Denver. We decided to take our families to picnic at the foot of the mountain near Estes Park while we climbed the mountain. Our families stayed near the trailhead, playing among the trees and chasing ground squirrels, while I and Al went to find the top of the mountain. We told our wives we would be on the top by noon and to look for us. We had waved to them right at noon from the peak. Of course, the top of the mountain was so far away they couldn't possibly see us at that distance, and we really didn't have any idea how long it would take us to get there. We'd never been on the mountain. We didn't talk with anyone about the trail, and we didn't even know what the distance to the top was. We carried only a canteen of water each and a couple of candy bars. We got a good start by arriving at the foot of the mountain early in the morning. The trailhead began at about 8,000 feet, and at the top of the mountain, which was 14,250 feet, so we had about a 6,000-foot vertical climb. We figured the length of the trail would be about 10 miles, but we didn't anticipate how rocky the trail would be, or the steepness of the last couple thousand feet. We started at 6 a.m. and made pretty good progress throughout the day. It wasn't hot, and we climbed, and as we climbed, the temperature got even cooler with altitude. We climbed to an area called the Boulder Field, and then through a notch on the north side of the peak called the Keyhole, about two-thirds of the way up. From there, we went around the west side of the mountain and continued to climb along a cliff that looks down onto a lake several thousand feet below. We continued to climb to the south, then turned sharply eastward and up a channel filled with snow on the back side of the mountain. This was the steepest part of the climb, and any misstep could result in a terrifying slide down the snowy trench, over the cliff, and into the lake thousands of feet below. By the time we reached the trench, we were at an elevation of about 13,000 feet, so we had about 1,000 feet to go. But the remainder of the climb was very challenging. At this level, there was much less oxygen, and the slope was much steeper. 40% of the atmosphere was below us, and it was hard to breathe. I learned from first-hand experience why climbers on Mount Everest carry oxygen for the last leg of their ascent. As we worked our way to the top of that last portion, I could only climb for about 2 minutes at a time, maybe 50 feet, then stop and pant for several minutes. It took us at least an hour to climb the last 1,000 feet to the top of the mountain. When we got there, we were absolutely beat and took a long time to recover. I remember lying flat on the ground among the boulders with my arms outstretched thinking, I'm going to die. The top of Long's Peak is flat, about the size of a football field, with boulders scattered all around. Once we caught our breath and were feeling a little better, we walked over to the eastern edge of the mountain and looked down over the magnificent view of the foothills and the fruited plain below. We arrived at the edge of the overlook exactly at noon, our appointed time to wave to our families below. Of course, we couldn't see our wives and children 10 miles away and 6,000 feet below, but we decided to wave anyway. Maybe they'd see us, even if we couldn't see them. And, as it turned out, when we got down from the mountain, they happened to have made friends with another family that was camping nearby who had a telescope. My wife, Jeanette, asked the husband if they could look through his telescope. She told him we were going to be at the top of the mountain right at noon and would wave to them exactly at noon. He focused his telescope at the highest point of the mountain, and sure enough, there we were, waving to them from the peak. Going back down was obviously a lot easier, but different muscles are used when going up from going down. It's the back of your legs that hurt going up, and the front of your legs and feet that hurt on the way down. By the time we returned to the keyhole, we'd been hiking for almost 10 hours, and we were tired. Even though it was downhill, it took almost as long to walk down as it had walked climbing up. I made it up Long's Peak one other time with my two brothers, Stephen and David, but we took horses to the boulder field and they climbed the rest of the way from there. The Wrangler stayed with me and the horses below while they went through the keyhole to the top. I didn't feel well that day due to a touch of the flu, so I didn't get to the top the second time. I guess I could say I climbed Long's Peak maybe 1.5 times. Another memory I have of Long's Peak is about another graduate student in the Atmospheric Science Department at Colorado State who routinely climbed Long's Peak in preparation for the Red Zinger bicycle race in Boulder, Colorado. This annual race was sponsored by the Red Zinger Tea Company. Our friend prepared for the race on Saturdays for several months prior to the race. He'd leave Fort Collins on his bicycle, ride to the foot of Long's Peak, 35 miles away and 3,000 feet higher, get off his bike and run to the top. He would then run back down the mountain, get on his bike, and ride the 35 miles back to Fort Collins, all in one day. I was blown away by the physical conditioning it took for such an extreme activity. However, I guess some people enjoy participating in such extreme sports. Al and I actually observed another such athlete the day we climbed Long's Peak. We were passed by an Indian running up the mountain about 3 miles from the trailhead. We still hadn't gotten to the keyhole, another 4 miles ahead, when he came running back down the other way, already having reached the summit. I've never been in such good shape, even when I graduated from officer training school. My best time was a 6.5-minute mile. My excuse has always been that I have short legs. I was never in good enough shape to do what those guys did, but I'm proud to say I topped at least one 14,000-footer in my prime.